McDonald's car park. You're going to Macca's to get something to eat, and there's a homeless person, you know, sprawled in the bush. What would you do? That was meant to be rhetorical, Paul. My fault. This guy up on the screen, on the day of his birthday, saw this man in the garden of McDonald's. He went up to the guy and said, "What would you like to eat? And I'll buy it for you." So he went up to the guy. The guy said what he wanted to eat. He went into McDonald's and he bought him exactly what he wanted to eat. Then he gave the change he received to the man. And he videoed the whole lot. So my question to you is, was this right or not in your opinion? Both. Who said that? Okay, what made it right for you, Diane?
That he genuinely wanted to help this person.
That he's genuinely gone to help this person makes it right. And what made it wrong? Because the idiot videoed it. Any other thoughts? Is it right or wrong? Mark?
It can be right if he's saying, you two can do this,
he's having it. Oh, so if it was inspirational, then videoing it would be okay. Is that right? Well, I'm glad you said that because they were kind of my answers. This is really trendy on Facebook and Twitter at the moment. Really, really trendy. People go up to poor people and they'll give them food, give them a job, and they'll video the process as it happens. And I'm not sure if it's inspirational or self-serving. Some people say, what difference does it make at the end of the day he gave the guy something to eat, so does it matter that he publicised it? Oh, that was a rhetorical question, Lynn. So today, the funny thing is, this is what, you can get this on video, he fed the homeless person on his birthday, then he went and bought a laptop. And that's back-to-back on the video, and it was jarring. Today, I want to look at why we do the right thing. That's what I want to look at. Let me get straight into it. I want to show you something very interesting. You'll need your Bibles. If you look at Matthew 6 right now, you'll notice that verses 1 to 18 covers three topics: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. Here's the simple version. Jesus is just trying to teach verse 1. That's all he's trying to teach. But guess what? He's using three examples: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And to make the point of verse 1. Verse 1 is the only thing he's trying to teach. The interesting thing about this, in each example, he follows identical patterns. So he says, so when you do this righteous act, you need to stop certain behaviour, because this certain behaviour that you're doing makes you behave like a hypocrite, and this certain behaviour that you're doing will give you limited rewards of man. Then after telling them what to stop doing, then Jesus goes on to tell them what to start doing, and he gives them a contrasting reward from God. Does that make sense? He's a very good teacher. It's almost identical in structure. So, before we look at anything, you can see in 6 verse 1, he says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." That's Jesus' big point. It's his only point. So my question to you, what is righteousness in your words? And this is not a rhetorical question. What is righteousness? If someone says righteousness, what do you think it is? It's a funny word, isn't it? Thoughts? To do something selfless? Anything else? What is righteousness? It's a funny word, isn't it? To do the right thing? Yeah, yeah. To do what God wants? You've nailed it. I may as well sit down. Here's Dennis's definition. You ready? Listen to this. Righteousness is doing the right thing by God because you're right with him. Hear what I'm saying? Righteousness is doing the right thing by God because you're right with God. Righteousness is not doing the right thing by God to get right with God. Righteousness is doing the right thing by God because you're already right with him. Does that make sense? Let me show you an expanded version, because Jesus, this isn't the first time he talked about it in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus says this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." So a blessed person, we want righteousness. We want to do the right thing by God within ourselves. We want the people around us to do the right thing by God. We want the world to do the right thing. We're hungry for it. That's what a blessed... If you've been blessed by God, you hunger for righteousness. In chapter 5, verse 10, a little bit further down, righteousness is doing things Jesus' way. Check this out. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." So righteousness is doing things Jesus' way, but the problem is when you do things Jesus' way, it's upside down as far as the world's concerned, and people don't like it. Let's break it down a little bit more. In chapter 5, verse 16, again, a little different. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So righteousness is wanting to shine for God in everything you do so he looks good. What do you call it when you shine to make yourself look good? That's gone from righteousness to self-righteousness. Interesting, isn't it? And chapter 5, verse 20, righteousness is what the Pharisees were not doing. "I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So the Pharisees were not, they were doing deeds, they were doing righteous deeds, but they weren't doing, they were really more doing self-righteous deeds. So let's get into it. Let's look at 6 verse 1. Let's play the game Anglican minister for a day. So I'm going to read verse 6, 1. You tell me what the take-home value is for chapter 6, verse 1. You ready? "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." Go for it. What do we learn from that? Come on, ain't rocket science. Gwendy. Okay, you ready? God wants us to actually practice acts of righteousness. Thank you. Anything else that Jesus wants to teach from this one verse? Go on. Shouldn't be boastful. Jesus says, when you do the right thing, don't boast about it. Anything else? One more. Go, Di. Okay, here you go. Diane's contemporary things. When you do the right thing, don't post it. Here's the Dennis version. You ready? Doing the right thing to impress people doesn't impress God. You ready? Now, here's my other one. Brace yourself. People-pleasing kills righteousness. People-pleasing kills righteousness. If you're out to please people, whatever you're doing, it isn't a righteous deed as far as God's concerned. Let me give you an example. If you come to church to please me, that is not a righteous act. If you come to church to get someone off your back, that's not righteousness. God's unimpressed by you being at church. Interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, if you're doing something to be seen by other people, who are you doing it for? Well, you're not doing it for God. You're either doing it to get the minister's approval so he doesn't ring you on the phone during the week, or you're doing it because the rest of your family is doing it and you don't want to be embarrassed by saying, "I'm staying at home." You're turning up at church and God's going, "I don't care, because you're not doing it for me." Fair enough? But here's something else I learned, and we're going to get into this. This will blow you out of the water later on in the sermon. Righteous acts are rewarded by God. When you do the right thing by God, he will reward you. Or to put it in Aussie talk, when you do the right thing by God, he will do the right thing by you. I'm not comfortable saying that, but it's in the Bible, so I have to say it. We'll come to a moment. And then the last one I want to see is, who is it that's rewarding us? Our Father in heaven. Isn't that an interesting picture? He doesn't go, the passage says, if you do, you will have no reward from God. He's going, you will have no reward. So when God rewards us for doing the right thing, he's rewarding us as a functional and loving Father. He's going, my son, I see you tried so hard to please me. I want to pay you back. He says, my daughter, I see it. He looks at it as a father, the father who sees motive and action. It's both a scary thing and an encouraging thing, depending if you're having integrity or not. So let's get into the passage and look at it specifically. Today's example of giving to the needy. I want to read verses 1 to 4, see if you can the pattern makes sense to you. Chapter 6, it's only a very short reading, isn't it? Look, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, in your Bible, it says when you give to the needy, it doesn't actually specify money, does it? So when we give to the needy, you can give lots of things. How do you know what to give to a needy person? Yeah, ask them. You've got to find out a person's need before you can meet the need. You know, so when you give to the needy, if someone needs money, you give them money. If someone needs food, you give them food. If someone needs company, you give them company. You might see a homeless person on the side of the road. You feel bad about it. You've got money here. Have some money. They never wanted your money. They just wanted your company. They'd be happier if you bought them a cup of coffee and sat down and spent 40 minutes with them. Oh, I don't want to meet that need, but I'm happy to meet another need. The need dictates the giving. What's the behaviour they have to stop? You ready? What have they got to stop doing? Blowing their trumpet. Now, this is the funny thing. All the Bible experts don't know if it was a real thing that was happening or it's just a metaphor. So we don't know if when the Pharisees were going out going, I'd like to tell everyone that I just fed that bloke over there. Now, you're laughing at it, but that's social media. Social media literally is blowing your trumpet. It's actually letting everyone know, drawing attention to generosity, to get recognition. It may not be a physical trumpet, it's a keyboard trumpet. Either way, Jesus does not want us to draw attention, does not want us to do the right thing to get attention from other people. And now I've got to tell you right now that Jesus is not an Aussie. This is an important thing you need to know. When Jesus is saying this, he's not an Aussie. So us Aussies, we can't stand people that brag, can't stand show ponies, you can't stand peacocks, you can't stand virtue signalers, you can't stand martyrs. That's what it is to be Aussie, eh? If someone's a martyr, you just sit there going, yeah, look at them. They're a martyr. Or look at them there. They're just showing off. He's not saying it from that perspective. Jesus is not Australian, so don't read it like he is Australian. This is what Jesus is saying. When you do the right thing, the function of the right thing is to give honour to God. Because chapter 5, 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So Jesus gets upset because he wants us to do good deeds so people see, and the honour goes to God. But people that are show ponies or martyrs, they take the honour from God and they put it to themselves. They change righteousness into self-righteousness. Can you see? It's not whether the action's seen or not. It's whether the action's done to be seen. Because this is a dilemma. When you do a good deed, it's always seen. So let's say Malcolm's homeless and I do the right thing by Malcolm. Who's seen me? Who's seen me? Malcolm's seen me. If no one else sees me, Malcolm sees me. And if someone's done the right thing by you, 9 out of 10 times you're going to tell someone else about it. You're going to go, oh man, this guy did this. And yeah. You can't hide your actions because a city on a hill cannot be hidden. But you should never do it to be seen. Can you see the subtle difference? I think it's important for us as Christians to ask a simple question. Who are you doing this for? For myself or for God? Am I people pleasing or God pleasing? It's a very important question, because here's something for you. People pleasers are really on about pleasing themselves. Because if you're aiming to please another person, you want to please that person so they don't give you grief, so you're happy. So really, people pleasing is about pleasing yourself. And the problem is, sometimes people are pleased by the wrong thing. And as Christians, we've got to ask the question. So let's go back to the church thing. I'll be frank, I'll put on the table, I want you to come to church. Because I think that's what Christians do. It's functional. We come to church to praise God, encourage one another. But if you're coming to church to get me off your back, you need to get on your knees and fix it, because you're just trying to please Dan and God is unimpressed about you being here. God, because you're doing it not for him. Does that make sense? All right. What does Jesus want us to do? Instead of blowing our trumpet, what does he want us to do? You ready? It's simple. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. So if you see a need to be met, just meet it. Get on with it. You can do it private if you want. Just get on with it. Don't make a fuss about it. And do you love that phrase, not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing? It's kind of almost impossible, eh? But it's a beautiful picture of anonymity. So if you do it God's way, what happens? Well, you can see in verse 4, our Father, who is the seer of secrets, rewards people who do the right thing by him. Here's the irony. When I do the right thing by God, I actually don't want a reward. So if I'm helping out, let's say I didn't know Malcolm, if I'm helping him out, I'm not actually helping out Malcolm if he was homeless to get a reward from God. I'm not doing it for the recognition. I'm moved by him, and God supplied me with ability, and I want to help him. If you started going, oh, gee, you're a top bloke dentist, I would feel very uncomfortable. Not because I'm Aussie, but because I don't want the recognition. I don't want a reward. Isn't it ironic that God rewards people who doesn't want rewards? And the ones that do want rewards, God's going, you're not getting nothing from me. I'm uncomfortable with this, to be honest, because it feels a bit Roman Catholic to me. I'm a Protestant, and I don't like working my way to heaven. Jesus is not saying that. He's saying something very interesting about God, which all of us in this room have to accept. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Really good proverb. Let it soak in. It's simple, but it's an interesting truth. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will repay them for his deed. What an interesting perspective on generosity. So if Malcolm is in need of money and I give him money, I'm effectively lending this money to the Lord because I'm using it for kingdom purposes, and God goes, Dennis, I'll pay you back. The irony is it's his money in the first place, but he'll pay us back. If Malcolm is needy for time and I lose time to give it to Malcolm, God goes, don't you worry, I'll pay you back. I'll give you back time. He gives us eternity, which is overkill, but you know. Or if whatever it is, that doesn't sit comfortable with me. I understand it. I don't like it, though. So every time there's an act of generosity, God's going, I'll take that debt and I'll pay that debt. Here's a question. When does God reward people? Is it in the afterlife or this life? The answer is at the right time. If you look at chapter 5, verse 12 says this, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So some rewards will be expressed in heaven. But I've got to tell you, my experience tells me that some rewards are expressed on earth. And I have to tell you about my friend David. He's my prayer buddy. And we speak about all these things very intimately. So David and his wife, his family are Christian. They were at church. And a woman turned up at church and was in dire straits, or so she said, and asked for money for rent and a couple of other things. My friend David and his wife spoke to each other on the day, not a delayed response, at that time, and loaned her a substantial substantial amount of money. Now, the thing you've got to understand with David is David at that stage had three kids, and his family, they're very sensible and they budget tight. So when they were giving a substantial amount of money, this ate into their budget, into a woman they've never seen before, they gave the money because it was right. In that process, I was talking to Dave and you're asking, gee, do you reckon the need was real? Because people scam. And will it make a difference? Have we lost? And here's the funny part of the story. Within a week, out of various channels, this is a true story, they got back the amount of money to the dollar. To the dollar. Through various things that happened, they go, and I'm just going, are you serious? And this is not the first time David and his family have been generous and been paid back by God. I said to David at prayer group one day, I said, David, I'm not going to call you David anymore. From now on, I'm going to call you Even Stephen. Because every time they do something, God pays them back. To me, I see Proverbs 19:17 fulfilled by them. They don't do it for the reward. They do it out of Christian compassion in the context knowing that God wants them to do these sort of things. And God has repaid them. That's his experience. I'm not saying it'll be your experience. When does God pay back? In the afterlife or this one? At the right time. For some things in the afterlife, for some things in this. It's up to him. And if you're a Christian and you've taken a risk on someone, you know God's paid you back. I know he does that with me. So, what's the take-home value? Here's the take-home value. Are you ready? Because you are right with God through Jesus Christ, do the right thing by God because you are right with him. If you're doing the right thing by God to get right with him, you don't understand the gospel. But if you're right with God, God gives you the thumbs up, therefore you give God the thumbs up. And you go, I'm going to do the right thing by you, God. Your righteousness will be seen. You cannot stop that, but don't do the right thing to be seen. That's not a Christian concept. Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. I think they're mutually exclusive as a motivation. Not as a result, but as a motivation. And your Father in heaven, who loves you more than your current earthly father ever did or ever can, will look at you and go, I know what that cost you. I know the emotion it cost you. I know the money it cost you. I know whatever it cost you, and I love you. And you did it for me. I consider it a loan, and I'll pay you back. And the silly thing about God is I think he pays back with 150 million percent interest. And God is very, very generous. So get out there and do the right thing. And don't post it for goodness sake. Not because you're Aussie, but because you're trying to impress God. You don't care what people think about you, but you do care what people think about God. And that's why you do the right thing. Amen? I'll just pray very briefly and I hand it back to young Malcolm. Father,